Hope you have a good night.
All right, you too.
The next application is case number 11278, the application of Robin Wright. Site is located north of Route 22, also known as Long Neck Road, 3,800 feet east of Route 298, also known as Banks Road, and 2,300 feet west of Potnitz Road.
It's withdrawn.
Also known as Route 22C.
Skip.
And identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID.
It's withdrawn.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that's withdrawn.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I didn't interrupt you. That's okay. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'll take that back.
That's fine, sir.
Case number 11279, the application of Mackey Banks, being south of Ewing Road, 500 feet east of Route 357, also known as Cedar Neck Road, being lot 12A of Bayside Hamlet subdivision, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 134, map number 5, parcel 305, and requesting a variance from the front yard setback requirement. This application requesting a 13.6-foot variance from the required 30-foot front yard setback for proposed additions, including garage, porch, and steps. I received no correspondence from any individual or agency to date. That's all I have. Unless you have a question.
No. Thank you. Sure.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Greg Hastings, 102 Central Avenue, Ocean View, Delaware. Business address.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
My firm, Gia Hastings Associates, been retained by Mackey Bank, Mrs. Banks, to design the addition renovation for her existing home in Bayside. Upon doing that, we've really realized the encroachment that the curvature of the road, the street, has on this proposed addition. I believe you have that survey in your packet. What I've brought along this evening for explanation is some drawings to help you understand what is entailed in the project. Or six copies. What's being passed out initially are drawings of the existing home, Mrs. Banks, Mrs. Russell Banks' home as it exists. And if you will, for lack of a better term, it's a Nanticoke home, if you're all familiar with the Nanticoke homes, placed on piling. So it's up on the second story. And it sits butting the lagoon there in the property, the rear part of the property. Some people refer to it as the front, but nevertheless, there's a lagoon behind the property. And there has been several modifications and additions done to this existing home through the last 18 to 20 years. Decks, addition of a sunroom on the east end, and then completely enclosed underneath the Nanticoke home, which I'll state happens to be a illegal enclosure, and Mrs. Banks, with this proposed addition and what she plans to do, providing things go well this evening, is to remove all the existing living space. Because as you fellows probably are aware of, FEMA has a regulation, county abides by, that if there's 50% or more greater renovation addition to a piece of property, then you have to bring up to code every part of the property. The lower level doesn't comply, so all that's going to be removed. That brings us to the addition, the reason why we're here tonight. Mrs. Banks, the family, has a son that's handicapped and is in a wheelchair permanently. And with this addition renovation, to get to the second floor and to the third floor that's proposed, an elevator needs to be incorporated in the design. as well as hopefully a double car garage for coverage and enclosure of that space. So with the home being up on piling, you have a pre-existing structure. To incorporate the new entrance, the elevator inclusive, with a garage, then it becomes problematic. So it needs to be added to the front of the existing dwelling. And therefore, when you lay out that space, the additional space, then we have the encroachment. And what I'd like to pass out to you gentlemen now is reflecting the drawings that's being proposed.
Thanks, sir.
First sheet is basically the floor plan of the double car garage reflecting the elevator and the stairwell, the entry at the ground floor and the stairwell that's leading up to the respective floors. Beyond that, or at the upper part of the sheet, the drawing, you'll see some hatching and a series of rows of circles. Those circles represent the piling that support the existing home. Then on the very top of the sheet is, of course, a set of steps that are coming down from the second floor deck down to the rear of the house and down to the dock that butts the lagoon. So that space, in order to accommodate the elevator mechanical space and the set of steps that enter the home, that requires a certain amount of space plus the double car garage, given as a stated the enclosure for entering. And then when you reflect back on the survey that's in part of your packet, you'll see that same space reflected on that survey and where it encroaches. Now, your first question might be to me, why doesn't it go interior or inclusive of the existing home? The existing home has certain spaces, it has certain structural elements, and that certain space has already been finished. And it has the living room, the kitchen, the existing kitchen, that all is going to remain. So it's basically limited to where a new entry, a set of steps, and that elevator can be placed within internally that design. So when you take that same space that's required for those two entities plus an entry, you need to add it to the exterior, the surface, if you will, of the drawing, mm-hmm. or the proposed house, or excuse me, the existing house. The second sheet is reflecting the proposed renovation addition facing the street, and the third sheet is the elevation, the proposed, showing the elevator tower, so you see exactly where the elevator house implemented into the design. Okay. That's the east side, east elevation. And lastly, I have a letter of approval from the Homeowner Association president. And I didn't have that at the time the application was filled out, Mr. Lang. So I'll give this to you.
Thanks, sir.
And I apologize, I didn't mean to tell you, gentlemen, that Mrs. Banks sends her regrets, and I apologize for her not being in attendance. She had planned to be here tonight.
Uh-huh.
But she is down in bed with sciatic nerve complications.
The top floor going to be a living space too?
Yes.
Bedrooms and stuff up there?
What living space is being lost on the lower floor?
Double car garage, bathroom, foyer, office, bedroom, and actually two full bathrooms.
How many square feet is that approximately?
$1,200.
And how many square feet of living space, not counting the garage, is of the addition?
$288.
For both floors?
For both floors? No, that was just the first floor.
It appears from your elevations that there's two floors in here?
There's actually three. The part that encroaches, the front part of the garage, is only one story. Then just about at the point of the 30-foot setback, mm-hmm. it goes to two additional stories.
Okay, so the living space is not encroaching?
No.
It's only the garage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the reason for the garage is to
length
allow inclement entrance and for the wheelchair. Okay.
What was that square footage again?
288, Mr. Lank, on the first floor.
And that's living space?
Living space, yes.
And what were you losing by removal of the first floor, 288? Or was it
that's more? Illegal?
No. Did I say illegal? What are you losing?
Underneath the existing house?
First floor.
$1,200.
That's what I thought you said. Thank you.
And the garage is a standard two-car garage
yes.
size.
Was the garage about 24 square or 24 by 24?
24 by 26, I believe. I do realize, gentlemen, and I've been before you in the past, I know this encroachment is a little great, but I assure you, in all due respect, if I had been able to accomplish their needs for their son in any other manner, I would have done that and presented that to them and possibly been accepted, but we've tried. We've tried.
The elevator, that's the only way you get through it, is to the garage.
That is finished space, and that is permitted by FEMA, by the way, that's legal, that space for ground floor entry. So you have that entry, what's noted entry,
uh-huh.
it's finished, so you can go in through an entry door from the garage into the entry or from an outside door into the entry leading to the elevator.
The basics of the FEMA regulations for the lower level below base flood is garage, storage, and access. Those three things. That's all.
Are there any further questions from members of the board?
It appears that anywhere you would put a garage on this property would encroach somewhere, correct?
I would have to agree.
It would be. It looks to be that.
And that's because of the angle of Ewing Road, the curvature of it?
In my opinion, yes. That is a drastic encroachment, infringement of that piece of property.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I do have a couple that do live in the community. They're in the audience tonight. They're in favor. He He's a former member, our former president of the Homeowner Association, but he's here in presence.
Okay.
Just for the record.
All right. Thank you for that, Mr. Hicks. Okay. hearing no further questions from members of the board, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? There's one, two. Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think the applicant's done a good job in addressing the standards for granting the variance. Obvious uniqueness with the curvature viewing road and limiting factor in designing a structure that can accommodate the need for the disability. Therefore, I think makes it necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. Obviously, the applicant didn't create the FEMA regulations or the need for the disability. We didn't hear any testimony that it would alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and it doesn't appear from the drawings that it would, nor be detrimental to public welfare. And because of the limited space, I agree that it's a minimum to afford relief. So I would make a motion that we approve case number 11,279.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 11,279. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Wortman?
Aye, for those reasons that were stated.
Again, Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
And Mr. Mills?
Aye, for my reasons.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 4-0, case number 11,279 is approved, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.